This episode is brought to you by Sysdig, the leader in cloud security powered by Runtime Insights. Sysdig reduces the attack surface, detects threats in real time, and accelerates incident response. From prevention to defense, Sysdig helps enterprises secure and advance innovation in the cloud. Visit sysdig.com/WSJ to learn more.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, October 20th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. The crypto winter began to set in about a year ago. The value of many cryptocurrencies fell, legislation to regulate the industry has been put on the back burner by lawmakers, and some of the biggest businesses in the sector have gone under. But the crypto industry isn't dead. At least that's what supporters say. At this year's Tech Live, financier Anthony Scaramucci and crypto compliance advocate Charlie Schrem shared their thoughts on the opportunities and pitfalls facing crypto investing right now. We'll have highlights from that conversation coming up later in the show. But first, the federal government's last scheduled witness in its landmark antitrust trial against Google finished testifying this week. The Department of Justice has focused on Google's deal with Apple that made it the default search engine on iPhones and other devices. Our legal affairs correspondent Jan Wolf says the case has shed light on how rival Microsoft has been faring in the competition over search.
Microsoft makes Bing, and they want to take on Google in search. And Microsoft's CEO testified that the company was willing to incur losses of up to $15 billion a year if it meant dethroning Google and its position as a default. You know, Google might spin that to their advantage and say, well, it shows that a lot of money is around to challenge us, but people like us, we're dominant because we're good. And the Justice Department might say that, well, Apple really didn't want to anger Google, and that's what's going on here.
The non-jury trial is estimated to end in late November. And staying with Google, the company has announced it plans to manufacture its Pixel smartphones in India. Google will start with the Pixel 8 series, which will be available for purchase early next year. Growing concerns about geopolitical tensions and supply chain bottlenecks have forced tech makers to diversify their supply chains away from China. Apple has already moved some of its production to India. The Federal Communications Commission is moving forward with plans to revive rules for the internet known as net neutrality. The proposal would apply utility-like regulations to America's internet service providers and likely raise costs for companies like Comcast, Charter Communications, and AT&T. The agency's Democratic majority voted to adopt the plan yesterday. Supporters of the plan say the rules will protect consumers from price gouging. The head of the trade group that represents Comcast, Charter, and other big cable companies said it was likely the industry would request a judicial review of the plan. The WSJ's Tech Live wrapped up earlier this week, and among the biggest conversations happening at the event was the role artificial intelligence is going to play across industries. For younger people, their future careers and daily lives could be deeply impacted by the tech. 22-year-old Elsa Majimbo, who's been ranked one of the most influential content creators by both Rolling Stone and Forbes, spoke about that with our senior platform editor, Julia Munslow.
And so obviously we're at a tech conference. I want to talk a little bit about AI. So what is something that you would outsource to AI? And is there anything that you would never outsource to AI?
AI so far has done nothing for me. I mean, obviously AI is in my day to day, but just going out of my way to use like ChatGPT, I haven't done that yet. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Do you have any other predictions for the future when it comes to tech?
AI will take over. I'm not using it right now, but I know eventually it will. And it's like a second industrial revolution and nothing can stop it.
So as a content creator, are you scared that AI is going to take your job or is that something that you're not worried about?
Oh, no. Look at me. I'm unique. Nothing can replace me.
I love it. Great. And so looking more broadly at the tech world, what do you think the most pressing, the most important issue is right now?
I think it's people trying to figure out a way to create more jobs while still advancing, because advancing as humans means we don't need manual and physical labor. So I think that's the main problem right now.
Coming up, it's been a rough year for the crypto industry, but some of its supporters say success can't come without failure. We'll hear from two of them on crypto's future when we come back.
For businesses innovating in the cloud, every second counts. In this new world, where attacks happen at warp speed, security leaders must rethink cloud security. Sysdig strengthens cyber resilience by reducing the attack surface, detecting threats in real time, and accelerating incident response. The platform correlates signals across cloud workloads, identities, and services to enable teams to prioritize risks and act decisively. Visit sysdig.com/WSJ to learn more. Sysdig, secure every second.
On yesterday's show, we heard what Anthony Scaramucci, the founder of Skybridge Capital and the former White House communications director, thought about AI. But Scaramucci was at the WSJ's Tech Live to talk about cryptocurrency. The financier is a digital currency optimist and took the stage with crypto compliance advocate Charlie Schrem to discuss the industry's current downturn and its future. Here are highlights from their conversation with Gunjan Banerjee, the lead writer for the Wall Street Journal's live markets coverage.
I know we've all been following the horrific and disgraceful attacks on Israel and the situation unfolding in the Middle East. The Wall Street Journal has reported that crypto exchange Garantex has been a major channel through which terrorist organizations such as Hamas have been transferring money. Anthony, do you have a problem with that?
Of course, I have a problem with that, but I don't think that's crypto specific. Generally, I think that we are focused on that because we have a lot of crypto skeptics and naysayers. And so, yes, I absolutely have a problem with it, but I think there's ways that we can handle that and there's ways we can regulate and go after those people. Because of the blockchain transparency, this stuff is easy to track.
Isn't it easier for bad actors to transfer crypto than cash, though, Charlie?
I would disagree because when you're in cash, you're in cash. You can take that cash anywhere in the world and do whatever you want with it, no matter what currency you have. With crypto, once you're in crypto, it's like a toll booth. As long as we regulate those toll booths of getting in and out of crypto, and we have regulated onshore exchanges in America that we trust that do proper KYC and compliance, we wouldn't have issues like that. We wouldn't have liquidity in those shady exchanges anymore. All the liquidity would be onshore here in the US or through our partners in the EU.
I do want to move to that because one of the most trusted exchanges, FTX, collapsed last year, and Sam Bankman-Fried's criminal trial is happening right now in New York City. Anthony, you invested with
FTX.
I just want
to say thank God I'm here and not at the criminal trial. But yes, go ahead.
You were on a list of people that would potentially testify. How do you see this shaking out?
So, first of all, I wasn't close enough to the blast zone, so that's one of the obvious reasons why I'm not testifying.
Is there another FTX waiting to happen in Binance? Charlie, what do you think?
There will always be centralized points of failure within Bitcoin and crypto that will be big elephants in the room that we have to worry about. From Mt. Gox, there were so many other smaller ones in between that no one remembers. FTX was a big one, but there are still a lot of smaller ones around FTX too. Three Arrows Capital, and then you had Celsius, Voyager, and all the likes. I mean, there were so many, and unfortunately, the longer Bitcoin and crypto continues to succeed, there will be more.
But it sounds like you're saying, yes, another FTX could happen, which means a lot of customers lose money. Is that what you're saying?
We'll never be able to prevent more failures. We'll never be able to prevent in any industry. We'll never be able to prevent more mistakes from happening. But I think as an industry, if we ask the right questions and we don't forget what happened, we'll be able to succeed. And we need to remove centralized finance. The whole point of Bitcoin and crypto is to hold your own keys. But at the same time, when you have custody, there's a system of checks and balances in place. There, everyone was just putting all their money in one spot. And the last thing I'm going to say is if we had clear regulations, especially accounting rules, where the inventory of crypto that was held on the FTX books, if there were clear rules about how that money needs to be segregated and not kept commingled, There are no rules when it comes to crypto right now, when it comes to our regulations. We need better rules and regulations.
You're asking a really good question. We're always going to have people that are bad actors in our society. My grandmother had an expression, you know, too good is no good, but too safe is no good. You want to be in a society of innovators, and you want to be in a society of risk takers, and you want to understand that there's vagaries to taking those risks.
Charlie, a lot of retail investors were burned by crypto. Why would they turn around and buy a crypto ETF?
It's funny because everyone who's ever made wealth in Bitcoin or crypto always lost some wealth before they made it. It's unfortunate, I hate to say it, but anyone who comes to me and says, Charlie, thankfully this happened with Mt. Gox or this FTX, I'm learning how bankruptcy law works now. People are selling their claims, they're learning how all that works. A lot of people who held on to claims who bought other people's claims are making money now. I know people who bought like claims from FTX for like 40 cents on the dollar, and now they're going to get 70 cents.
Anthony, this industry did really well when there was a lot of speculation behind it. What happens when that momentum is gone?
I think it will shrink and consolidate, but you have to ask yourself the following question. What does this technology do? And ultimately, it's a delayering mechanism for a society. If I can go peer-to-peer, as an example, if you own a restaurant and you can avoid the 3.5% charge from American Express, well, your margins go up by 15 to 20%. The El Salvadorans who were in New York for the United Nations General Assembly meeting explained to me that they see a potential $400 million savings from their expats who live in the United States giving money back to mom and dad in El Salvador from a wallet-to-wallet transfer and avoiding the 10% charge from a MoneyGram or a Western Union. So if you stop and you think about the wonderful ways that this technology is going to delayer the society and take costs out of the society, the same way the internet did, there's a very, very bright future, even if there's consolidation.
Looks like we're out of time. Thank you so much, Anthony and Charlie,
for
being here with me today.
Thank you, guys.
That was the WSJ's Gunjan Banerjee speaking with Anthony Scaramucci and Charlie Schrem. And before we let you go, we want to tell you about a new game that comes with its own spreadsheets, strategies, and apps. Sleeping. A range of devices, including phones and wearables, lets you track how much and how well you're sleeping and compare those numbers with friends. But reporter Alexander Saidi says it's not just about tracking your own progress. Some apps have fully gamified sleep.
So Pokemon Sleep does fully embrace the entertainment aspect of monitoring sleep. You get more Pokemon or better kinds of Pokemon based on the score you get. And it is incentivizing a certain kind of sleep so that you max out the score. You know, some people are actually sleeping worse just to maximize their points and win the game, quote unquote.
All right, that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Our deputy editors are Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new show on Monday. Thanks for listening.